Parshas Vayechi. In the very last pasuk before Ravi, the Torah writes, Yaakov is talking to his son Yosef just prior to his death, and he says, I'm going to give you the town of Shechem. And then he says, Asher lokachti miyad v'emoyim, the town of Shechem is the town that I captured, I conquered from the hands of the Amorim, Bacharbi Ubakashti. Simple translation, with the sword and the bow. Now, we've mentioned in previous years that the Targum on those words, Bacharbi Ubakashti, does not translate sword and bow literally. Rather, he writes, Bitzloisi Ubaba'usi. Those are terms for Tefillah. I captured Shechem rather in the physical way through the bow and the sword. He says, actually, it's Bitzloisi Ubaba'usi with a Koyach of Tefillah. With a Koyach of Tefillah. Which, by the way, some suggest this is the Makor of when we say Kaddish after davening, we say Tiskabel Tzloisoim Uva'usoim. Those are the Aramaic terminology for tefillah, and here is the makor, Bitzloisi Ubaba'usi. Now, in the past, we've mentioned that the Meshech Chochma, Rameh Simcha, and in similar vein, the Briskerov, they both explain as follows. The truth is, Rashi also points out, Bacharbi Ubakashti, Hi Chochmasi V'Tfilosi. So Rashi also says there's a reference to tefillah over here, but Rashi doesn't say that both words are tefillah. Charbi, ubakashti means with my chochma and with my tefillah. But we certainly see that tefillah is alluded to. The issue is in the Targum, because the Targum says that both words are referring to tefillah. So what does that mean? He does them twice? If they're both referring to tefillah, then the obvious question that needs to be asked is, firstly, why is tefillah called a bow and a sword? And why do I need two metaphors to explain what tefillah is? So we've discussed in the past, in the name of the Meshech Chochma, Rameh Simcha of Divinsk, and in similar vein, the Briskerov says almost the identical pshat. And he says the reason why we have two different metaphors for tefillah is simply because there are indeed two types of tefillah. There are two types of tefillah. There is the tefillah kavua, the fixed version of tefillah, that is the nusach of Shmoyne Esra that we say every day, Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, the text of which was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and we don't change that text. Those are the words composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. But there is an additional type of tefillah, and that is my own personal tefillah. Not that which was compiled by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, but rather my own heartfelt tefillah that I want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. And that can be added either in Shemoneh Esra, or it can be added at any time during the day. At any time during the day you can offer your own personal tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there really are two types of tefillahs. The established tefillah by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and then my own personal tefillah. Now, what's the difference between the two, besides for the actual text? So the Meshech Chochma explains as follows. If you would look at a moment, what's the difference between a sword and a bow and arrow? A sword is a heavy metal instrument with a very sharp tip at the end, and it's a dangerous implement. If you just touch the tip at the end, it can cause damage. The bow needn't necessarily be a whole sword. You don't shoot a sword. It's a bow and arrow. It could be a lightweight arrow. Its power and its ability to inflict damage is completely dependent on how much effort you put in to release that arrow from the bow. The more you pull back, the more effort you put in, the more damage it can inflict. But inherently, it's not a dangerous implement. a sword wielded by anybody, even without any koyach whatsoever. A child could hold a sword and he can inflict damage because it's a heavy, dangerous, sharp metal implement. So the Meshech Chochmah says that's the difference between the two types of tefillah. The tefillah kavua, which was composed by the Anshei Sekhnes HaGdoila, those words are like a sword. Those are potent words. The Anshei Sekhnes HaGdoila, the Mishabura actually discusses this, when they compiled tefillah, it was all done al pi Ruach HaKodesh. So they knew exactly which words can unlock the Shari Shomayim, and those words work. In theory, even if you daven without kavana, but the mere fact that you've said the words, they'll produce the desired effect. It's like, for example, turning on a light switch. You don't have to have kavana. You just press the light switch, the light will turn on because it's been programmed that way. If you have a computer and you need to enter a code to enter a particular program, if you type in those letters, kavana or no kavana, it works. That's one form of tefillah, that's the tefillah kavur. But your own personal tefillah, when I daven for a refuah shleima, for parnasa, for whatever it may be, and that's my own personal tefillah, it's not so much the words that are unlocking the Shari Shomayim, rather, it's the fact that it's a heartfelt tefillah that I'm injecting with kavana. That is what gives that koyach to the tefillah. And that, therefore, is comparable not to the sword, but to the bow and arrow, where essentially it's not a dangerous item, but if you put koyach into it, then it jolly well is a dangerous item. So the Meshech Chochmah says, that's what this pasuk means, and that's what the Targum means. Bacharbi ubakashti, the Targum says, it's two types of tefillahs. Bitzloisi ubaba'usi, there really are two types of tefillahs. There's the sword version, where the actual words have inherent potent koyach, and then there is the bow and arrow version, where it's not so much the words, rather it's the kavana and the effort that I put into that tefillah, that's what gives it koyach. Now, of course, we mustn't make a mistake. This doesn't mean that the avodas hatefillah just means to ramble through the words. In other words, the comparison to turning on a light isn't perhaps all that fair. You don't have to have any kavana whatsoever when you turn on the light switch. The light will turn on automatically. Obviously, tefillah is called avodah shebelev, but we have to understand that there is inherent koyach in the actual words. So even if some of the words, when we daven in our day-to-day Shemoneh Esrei, we might not understand the words. What is exactly the difference between Seshaber, Vesmager, Vesachnia, what mean Rafa'inu Hashem, Veneirofein? It all seems very poetic. There is, of course, much value in trying to understand what we're saying. Obviously, we also need to know that even if in theory we don't understand, the actual words have koyach. The actual words have koyach, and that's the comparison to the sword. Whereas your own personal tefillah, it all depends on how much koyach you put in. The more koyach you put in the bow and arrow, the more dangerous, the more forceful, the more powerful that arrow becomes, so too my own personal tefillah. That is the wonderful pshat of the Meshech Chochmah, as we mentioned, also of the Briskerov. Now, we've discussed this in previous years. What I'd like to share with you today is an addition to that, and I saw that this year in the writings of the Shem Mishmur. He discusses this in many places. I'd like to share with you what I found in two particular places. The Shem Shmuel, you know, was one of the great Hasidic leaders. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer, a grandson of the famous Kotzker Rebbe. And his form, written about 100 years ago, in fact what we're going to mention now, was written in Tof Reish Ayin Zayin, which means 1917. So it's the best part, 100 years ago, plus minus. So the Shem Shmuel is going to focus for us on one half of the Charbi Kashti equation, and we're going to talk about the Kashti. Kashti, Keshes is the bow. And we're going to listen to the words of the Shem Shmuel, and it's quite incredible what he is mechadish for us. He writes in Parshas Vayeschanan, and he brings a medrash. And the Medrash says as follows. Now we have to listen carefully to the Medrash because it sounds like there's a machloikus going on, and the Shemesh Shmuel in his genius is going to explain to us that actually there's no machloikus whatsoever. The Medrash, this is the Medrash in Pashas Vayeschanan, says as follows. There's a pasuk we say every single day in the morning, Va'ani sfilosi l'cho Hashem eis rotzein. Va'ani sfilosi, I daven to Hashem, eis rotzein. What do those words mean, eis rotzein, at a time of rotzein? So the Medrash says that Rav Shmuel said, do you know what that means? Vanis filosti l'chol Hashem eis rotzein. Sha'arei tefillah, the gates of tefillah, he says, sometimes open and sometimes closed. They're not open at all times. If they were really open at all times, then what do you mean? Vanis filosti l'chol Hashem eis rotzein. There's no office hours 9 to 5. You can always daven to Hashem. So it sounds like, this is what Rav Shmuel was machadish to us, no. There are certain times when the Shari Tila are open, certain times when they're closed. Eis Rotzein is that particular time when the Shari Tila are open. Chiddush. Right. Eis Rotzein. However, the Medrash continues and it brings what seems to be an opposing opinion in the name of Rev Anan, and he says, no. At Shari Tila. Shari Tila. Einon nin olim lo'olam, are never closed. And he brings the pasuk, says, Kashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav, whenever you call to him. So they both back their positions with a pasuk. Seems to be a clear machloikas. Is the gates of tefillah opened at all times or not? Rav Shmuel says, no, they're not. Eis Rotzein. And Rav Anov says, yes, they are. B'chol koreinu elav. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, there's actually no machlokes whatsoever. There's no machlokes whatsoever. And he quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer. And he says, and he brings our pasuk. We know that tefillah is compared to the bow, because it says, b'charbi u'bakashti. So he explains in very similar vein, but perhaps in a more chassidish nusach, and the way he writes it is as follows. He says the comparison between tefillah and the bow, the keshes, is just like a keshes. The more you pull it back, the further the arrow will go. So too, he says, tefillah, kol kamo shehalev, if the heart is nidchak, also contracts, umitzta'ir b'yosa, is in pain as it were, that way the tefillah will go further as well. So just like the bow and arrow, the more taut it is, the further the arrow will go. If you hold the bow limply, the arrow won't travel very far. But the more taut it is, the further the arrow will go. So too with tefillah. The more taut it were, as it were, the heart is, the more it contracts out of pain, and you're davening mitoch tzarav, that therefore will add potency and power to the tefillah. Says the Avnei Nezer, says the Shemesh Shmuel, the son of the Avnei Nezer, he says, therefore, there are really two types of tefillahs. And again, this brings to us this double tefillah concept. He says, there is the type of tefillah which a person perhaps needs a bit of help, so he'll offer up some sort of lame tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might have power, but it won't be that powerful. But then you will have the type of tefillah wherein a person is in such a desperate situation that he literally pours out his heart is bursting with tzar, and the tefillah is that much more heartfelt, that will just literally burst forward and break all barriers, just like the bow and arrow. If you're holding an arrow in your hand, how far can you throw that arrow? Not very far. But with the koyach of the bow, all of a sudden you break all barriers. Eilich Oira can only have an influence 50 meters. That's how far I can throw the arrow. But with the bow, I can shoot it thousands of miles. I can shoot a scud, for example, a rocket, a bullet can be fired, again, in accordance with the koyach that I put in. So it breaks all barriers. Says the Shem Shmuel, therein lies the difference. If you're davening that type of tefillah, which is not the barrier-breaking tefillah, you offer up some weak tefillah, then that is a confined tefillah. Just like your lave was not batsar bursting with tefillah, it was offered up as a meek tefillah, then that's how much koyach it will have. At certain times only. When there's an Eis Ratzon, then it's your lucky day, then that tefillah will make it through. But if not, the gates close. How will you break through? If you daven a different type of tefillah, the tefillah of the bow, where your lave is bursting, and that can now produce a phenomenal effect, that type of tefillah transcends time. Because as we said, it breaks all barriers. So therefore, that type of tefillah is accepted at all times. Therefore, the Shem Shmuel, in his great genius, is explaining that there's actually no machlokes at all. Are the gates of tefillah opened constantly or not? The answer is, it depends on what type of tefillah you offer. If it's a type of tefillah which is, as it were, a contained tefillah, didn't burst forth with much kavana or tsar, then when the gates happen to be open, you've got mazel. Fine, they'll accept your tefillah. But if the tefillah is the type of keshes, it's the type of keshes, such that what? It bursts forth with so much kavana and tsar, then that has limitless koyach, and it will break all barriers, and therefore the shari tefillah, for that type of tefillah, will always accept his tefillah. That's the great, beautiful pshat of the Shem Shmuel, again, based on his father, the Avi Nezer's interpretation of the keshes. But in another place, this was in Parshas Vayeschanan. In another place, in Parshas Chayesara, he says, with this, I'd like to explain the famous story of Chana and Eli. And it's the most wonderful interpretation. We know the story. We read about it on Rosh Hashanah in the Haftarah. And it says that, remember, Chana did not have any children. She comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and who's there officiating? Eli HaKoyen. She davens, it says, Vatokom Chana, Achrei Ochla, after she'd eaten, she davens. And how does she daven? V'chana medaberes alibo. From the heart. Sfoseho nois, her lips were moving, but v'koyla lo yishonea. But her voice could not be heard. So what does Eli HaKoyen think? He says, V'yachshaveo Eli l'shikoyro. She looks like she's shika, she's doing something very bizarre. And in fact, Eli says to her, what's going on? Ad mosai tishtakorin, how long are you going to be drunk for? Hosiriyet yeinich, remove the yayin. Vata'an Chana, and Chana responds, and she says, no. Lo yadini, not so, my master. Isha keshas ruach onoichi. What does that mean, keshas ruach? From the word kosher. It's difficult for me. Keshas ruach. I'm not drunk at all. But I have a difficult spirit. V'yayin v'sheicha loy shasisi. I haven't drunk any wine at all. V'eshboich es nafshi lifnei Hashem. Rather, I'm just pouring out my heart in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the story. And as we know, eventually, her tefillahs were answered, and she had Shmuel Hanavi as a son. So the Gemara tells us in Brachas, from here you learn a halachic principle. What is the halachic principle you learn from here? That when you daven, you have to daven quietly. And this is, of course, the Makor. When we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we daven quietly. Why did Eli think that she was shika? So Rashi says, because they were not normally lo yahayu regilim. That wasn't the normal way to daven. So he saw something very unusual. Why are you davening in a very bizarre fashion? And therefore he said, you must be shika. And she said, no, actually I'm not. Now, the question needs to be asked, and the Shem Shmuel asks this, a fantastic question. The Gemara concludes that the halacha is you're supposed to daven quietly. So, safe to assume that this is the way that Klal Yisrael always davened. He didn't invent the halacha on that day. How did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Quietly. How did Yeshua ben Nun daven? Quietly. So what was Eli so surprised about? What does that mean that they didn't normally daven quietly? And when he saw her davening quietly, he says, "Oh, you must be shikha." And the Gemara says, we learn our halachic principle from whether you've got to daven quietly. Well, if you've really got to daven quietly, then she was doing nothing out of the ordinary. So why was he so surprised? To the contrary, if he was surprised, clearly what did Eli hold? That how are you supposed to daven? Out loud. So why does the Gemara conclude, here you learn, you've got to daven quietly. Seems to be the opposite conclusion is true. Apparently you've got to daven loud. That's why he thought Chanan was davening so strangely. What's going on over here? So the Shemesh Shmuel says the following phenomenal pshat. Profound pshat. And again, this brings us back to the Meshech Chochmah. Are you supposed to daven quietly, or are you supposed to daven loudly? Says the Shemesh Shmuel, it depends what type of davening you're davening. And listen to this, it's very deep. He says, just like the Meshech Chochmah told us, there is the tefillah of the Shmoina Esra, which Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, composed for us, and then there is your own personal heartfelt tefillah. Now, he says, the Shmoina Esra is davened quietly, as we do three times a day. Your own personal tefillah is daven b'koil. And he says, I can prove it. Look at Tehillim. Tehillim is a whole sefer of David HaMelech's personal tefillahs, and look how many times it mentions there that there were instruments, l'machseach, mizmor, singing, and instruments, and orchestra. You should be davening quietly, shouldn't you? No, that's the Shmoina Esra. The Dovid HaMelech's own personal tefillahs were davened b'koil. Why? What's the difference? So he says the most phenomenal pshat. Shmoina Esra, the whole concept of tefillah as we know, Shachris, Avraham Avinu, Mincha, Yitzchak Avinu, Mariv, Yaakov Avinu. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Ovois, were the ones who, as it were, founded the concept of tefillah. The words of tefillah were formulated for us, as we mentioned, by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So he says, what in fact we're doing every single day, when we daven, we are reenacting, as it were, exactly what the Ovois did. It's an amazing look at tefillah. Every day we come to shul and we daven Shacharis, we are, as it were, emulating Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak, we're emulating the Mincha, Yitzchak Avinu. We come to shul for Maariv, we're emulating Yaakov Avinu. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, who are we to emulate the others? Who do we think we are? There are Mekatragim, which means there are, as it were, accusing angels who want to say over here, one second, who do these people think they are? They think they're Avraham. Yitzchak v'Yaakov, it's such a lofty tefillah composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, founded by the Ovos HaKadoshim. Who says they're worthy of davening such a davening? Says the Shemesh Shmuel, that's why we don't make a big fanfare out of it. We don't want to attract attention, so we daven quietly. We daven quietly. We don't want to stir up trouble with the accusing malachim who hear us davening, say, oh, what, did this person in Tovshin Pei thinks he's Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? We don't want to stir attention, and therefore we daven quietly. However, my own personal tefillah, that's not the tefillah of the Ovos. This is not the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. This is my tefillah. That's a different type of tefillah. To the contrary, the louder the better. Whatever it takes to be Ma'orah Kavana, there's no Mekatragim there. I'm not stepping into the shoes of the Ovos HaKadoshim, I'm just standing in my own shoes. I need the coil to be Ma'orah to generate the Kavana. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, now let's come back to the story with Eli and Chana. Eli is looking at Chana. Now, it says in the Psukim, as we mentioned, she just finished eating and then she goes to daven. This was her own personal tefillah. This wasn't the Shemoneh Esrei. Although, by the way, as an aside, we should add, there are many halachas of Shemoneh Esrei that we do learn from here. But either way, the story in particular was her own personal, heartfelt tefillah. She was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be zecher to children. Your own personal tefillah, how are those davens? We just said, bekoil. Not quietly. So what does Amy say? What's going on? She's davening her own personal tefillah. And I can hear her davening, or I know that she's davening for a son. That's abnormal to daven that type of tefillah quietly. That's why he thought that she was shika. We ask, did nobody in the history of Klal Yisrael daven quietly? Presumably everybody daven quietly. They did, Shemoneh Esrei, but this wasn't Shemoneh Esrei. This was an own tefillah process, her own personal tefillah, which should be davened b'koil. Why? To generate kavona. So why is she davening quietly? Her lips are moving, and yet no koil. No voice. Where's the coil? This is a personal filler. She must be drunk. There's something very absurd over here. So how does he know? So as I mentioned, we do learn halachas from Shimon Esrei. Okay, the Shem Yishmol is making an assumption that he knew that she was davening for a child. What does Chana answer? Now listen to the most incredible diuk in the psukim. Lo ya'adoini, she says. Isho kishas ruach onoichi. What are those letters kishas? The same as keshes, the bow. The simple translation was kishas from the word kosher. It's so hard for me. I'm davening. Va'eshvoich sichi. Said the Shem Yishmol, what she was alluding to her was, this is the keshes. This is the tefillah that's coming from her heart, bursting with tzar. I don't need to generate kavana. The kavana is all there. You need to generate kavana when the tefillah doesn't have koyach. Why doesn't it have koyach? It's not the Shemoneh Esrei. It's not the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's your own personal tefillah. Put koyach in, like the keshes. She says, I have an automatic keshes over here. I'm in so much tzav, or eshvoich sichi. And as she says to Eliyak Kohen, what are the words? This is coming from her heart. This is a heartfelt filler. I don't need to, as it were, generate extra koyach in order that it should be kavona. This is an automatic keshes. This is the bow. And a filler like this can break all barriers, as we mentioned. It's such a potent filler. That's what she answered. So you see that they all agree that essentially how is Shemoneh Esrei davened? Quietly. The only discussion is, what about your own personal tefillah? And that's why the Gemara concludes that you see from this story you're supposed to be davening quietly. Remember, we asked, l'chayra, you see the opposite. If Eli was so surprised she was davening quietly, we should have arrived at the opposite conclusion. Apparently you're supposed to daven loudly. No! A Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to be davening quietly. That all agrees, and that's the Gemara's conclusion. Your own personal tefillah, you've got to be ma'ayro kavana. She says, I'm davening the tefillah of a kishas ruach, of a bow, and that's a potent tefillah. That's a potent tefillah. So Shem Yishmol adds one line, and this will finish. Shem Yishmol says, we've just come off the back of Hanukkah. The times of the Yevonim, Klal Yisrael were in terrible, terrible tzaris. If you look in the Rambam, all the gzeiros that were made, beruchnias, ubegashmias, Klal Yisrael being crushed. And Chazal say, how did they manage to turn it all around? They were moisa nefesh and they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mil Hashem Elai, and they turned and they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've mentioned in previous years, the Bach mentioned specifically that there was the middah of mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh. They were moisa nefesh for mitzvahs, for Torah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, they turned it all around. Those heartfelt tefillahs, whilst being so crushed by the Yevonim, were therefore so much more potent and so much more powerful. This wasn't a tefillah of, please help, and if you don't, it doesn't matter anyway. Rather, we're being absolutely stifled and tortured and persecuted. This is a tefillah that breaks all barriers. Says the Shem Yishmor, what is the sign, what is the mazel of Chodesh Kislev? It is the keshes. It is the bow. That's the mazel, that's the sign. The zodiac of Chodesh Kislev is the Chodesh of Kish of the keshes. This was the Chodesh where Klal Yisrael were being stifled. They put in that koyach and they were able to produce phenomenal results. If you put that together with the Bach, that's what Mesiras Nefesh is. What is Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh is when a person goes beyond, as it were, his natural capabilities. We all have our comfort zone. This is the way I daven, this is the way I learn, this is the way I do chesed. Mesiras Nefesh is to break that barrier. And how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? With Nisim. What's a nes? Nes is exactly the same. It's beyond the barriers of Teva. There is the rules of Teva, that one pach of shemen can only light for one day, not for eight. But if you were Maisa Nefesh, you broke all the natural, normal barriers, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll respond accordingly. I'll produce miracles. That's breaking all normal, natural barriers. That is the keshes. The keshes, as we said before, I can only throw the arrow that far. That's the limit of my koyach. But with the power of the keshes, I'm able to go beyond my koyach. And that's what Chana was saying. Kshas ruach. I'm davening the tefillah of the keshes. And that's a very, very powerful tefillah. So we should only say in conclusion that Mishabura points this out. Mishabura quotes a Chaya Odom. And he says in Simon Kupchov Beis, Nochoin v'ro'u. It is correct and appropriate. L'chol Odom. For every person to daven every day for his needs, for his parnasa, the kol mashi yedea beliboy, anything that's coming from his heart that he needs, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can daven in any language you like, and then he adds, rak, providing that, shiyehe mikiras liboy, it should be from the depths of his heart. That's the keshes. That's not the cherev. The cherev is the Shemayna Esra, that has its koyach. For the own personal tefillah, that's the keshes, the ishok shas ruach, as the Mishnah Berurah says, it's got to be mikirois liboy, mikilois liboy. We'll just quote one line, the last line. Rabbi Yonasan Abishit says that when it comes to the bracha of Shema Kolenu, for example, he says you can daven for absolutely anything and everything. Afilu dover cotton or godoil. There is nothing, klaloi shel dover, the rule is, ein dover, there is nothing, masher etzoyne lasis bay bayim, anything that you think you need that day, there is nothing, shelo yispale la shlem, la tzlichoi u la lichoi bederech ha-yosher v'anochem. I remember once hearing from Reb Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when he said, you know, when you go to a makolet, you need to buy your vegetables. As you enter the doors, just stop and utter a three-word tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me find the cucumbers. Sounds absurd. There's nothing too big or too small to daven for. I don't have agmas nefesh. I don't have to go through 50 cucumbers to find the ones that I'm looking for. Offer a short, heartfelt tefillah. We can daven for anything and everything. Providing that, we inject it with koyach. We inject it with kavonah. A number of years ago here in Beit Shemesh, the Zecher Torah Drosha, a Rav in Kiryat Sefer, his name is Reb Turks, and he said the following. He said he once went to visit Reb Yankel Galinsky, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, Bnei Brak. So he knocks on the door, and Reb Yankel's Rebbetzin answers the door. She brings him in, she says, are you okay, everything okay? Says, yeah, fine. She says, well, where did you come from? Just around the corner. Oh, is everything alright? Yeah, fine. Did I miss something in the news? What do you mean, is everything okay? She says, no, it's okay, you arrived safely. I arrived 100% safe. Did I miss something? She said, no. She said, in our house, when we walk from the dining room, the salon, to the kitchen, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, we arrived safe and sound. That's the house of a godel. In constant contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every aspect of our life. She came from around the corner and you drove in, you walked in, you took a bus, and I came. So offer a short tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for delivering me safely. That's the koyach of the kashrus. As we said, there are two types of tefillahs. There's the charbi and the kashbi. But today we spoke about the kashrus, the isha kishas ruach, the tefillah, which is the heartfelt tefillah, with the lev, which is bursting with tzar and kavana, that can produce a koyach far, far, far beyond our own natural koyachas, like the arrow. And like we said, that type of tefillah, the shari tefillah, are opened 24/7, every day of the year. So Be'ez Hashem, we should be zeicha to be able to makayim the avodah shebalei. That's what tefillah is, and all our tefillah should be answered. Be'ez Hashem, tov, v'ra'atzim.